Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'd love to hear from you today. What are your thoughts? Will Israel survive the global uprising? We're witnessing the uprising, anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel, anti-Jew, the Jew hate mantra, the mindset, the marching and the demonstration. We're witnessing that expanding literally across the globe on every continent. Looks very much like the early stages in the 30s through the 40s with that of Hitler and the anti-Semitic Jew hate that led to the great Holocaust. Listen very carefully. What Benjamin Netanyahu is doing and what they're doing in Israel is protecting their borders, protecting the land that God gave them. And by the way, the land that Israel now occupies is just a postage stamp of the land, the territory that God gave Israel from the beginning. God gave them the title deed. It's not a title deed that's transferable. It's not a title deed that can be bifurcated so that the Islamic jihadists can take part and be considered as a two-state solution. By the way, that two-state solution mindset been the mantra for most presidents in my lifetime. Never happened according to the scripture. Looking at chapter 15 of Genesis in this 18th verse, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, unto thy seed have I given the land, this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Ladies and gentlemen, literally what that text is saying, if you look at that geographically, you understand that what is now Saudi Arabia, what is Syria, all the way up into Iraq and Iran, the Euphrates River, you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, all belongs to the nation of Israel with a title deed from God. It is reiterated in several other places. I'll go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 4. God says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It is a promise from God, ladies and gentlemen. When he gave the title deed to the Jewish people, God doesn't renege on his promises, his commitment. The title deed is irreversible. The title deed to the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, is that which God has given, cannot be compromised, nor the nation can take it. But yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, we see what God is talking about, and we view that today. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Then shall be in the siege, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, listen, in that day, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before on the air, every national leader needs to be very careful. Joe Biden needs to be careful. Kamala Harris should be careful. Those that are in leadership role presently and in the future need to be very, very careful on how we treat the nation of Israel. It's the apple of God's eye. And God says every nation that burdened themselves with it will be crushed by that burden. I'd be afraid to come against Israel, ladies and gentlemen. I'd be petrified to be a national leader, as we find in Europe and around the world, that's standing with the Islamic jihadists at the demise and the devastation of the Jewish people. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Good morning. It's been a while since we've spoken. This is Dan.
Hey, Dan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I would like to share with you and your audience, we know that sometimes a prayer has to be persistent to get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And a persistent prayer that I've been having for quite some time was, how can we finally clean up Congress and the Senate once and for all and keep it clean? And this is what I've received as an idea. We have taken step one to restore America to the people and to God. We're counting on him to forgive and rebuild through his hands. And we believe, to be honest, that he is granting that prayer in some means.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's take a look at how did we do what we did. We allowed the not only creation of alternative news, but the opportunity for it to spread and the opportunity for people to receive it, and better yet, this may shock you, they believed it. They
right.
believed the truth that was being exposed. So when it came down to throwing the honest American weight of Christianity and of righteousness, we put Trump back in office. All right. To prevent him getting set up, which we see Biden trying to do. I mean, it's horrible what he's going to have to face and what Biden's
yes.
getting away with. It's treason.
Yes.
It's nothing more than treason. You do not destroy this nation from within unless there's multitude of conspiracies and treason within. And we must not only admit it, but we must punish it. Okay, now here's my idea. We create, through the Department of Honesty, Trump can, you know, initiate a office of accountability to where it links up all the alternative media that is out there, bloggers, you name it. We put a means for the American people to go to it and to see what Congress and the Senate are doing. No bill should ever hit Congress until it's got 30 days in the alternative media for the public to learn what it is and what it will do to America, good or bad. Right.
I agree with that. That's good. Yes.
Then we monitor the congressmen's votes. Did they vote the will of the people? Did they vote for the good of America? Or did they vote for the bad? So now it's time for the reelection. They must stand on that vote. So we have an opportunity to clean out that batch till the next reelection and clean out that batch until we have nothing but a clean, righteous Congress and Senate.
That's an honorable goal, and it is a prayer that should be prayed without any question. One of the things, Dan, and you're probably familiar with this, I believe it's the 16th and 17th Amendment that brought about where we have both House and the Senate elected by the popular vote, the general vote, whereas prior to that, our legislators that were elected by vote would then select a senator for each mm-hmm. of the districts, and they would be sent to Washington, and then if the people says to our legislators, representatives, that dude's not voting the way we need to, he's voting against our Constitution, he's voting against our Bill of Rights, bring him home. And that legislator simply make the call, you're no longer a senator, head back to where you live, and then that will be replaced. Once we made it so that both chambers are elected by the popular vote, I believe we destroyed the potential for having a clean government, as you and I are talking about, though it does not should not prevent us from praying and seeking God and asking God to do so. Just as you alluded just a moment ago, I believe God divinely intervened in 2016, gave us Donald J. Trump. I believe he, because of the prayers of the saints in 2024, God divinely intervened and has given us Donald J. Trump. And it is my prayer that a lot of these bills, for example, the one, the spending bill was just canceled because President Trump, through the voice of Elon Musk, said it's a stench in the nostrils of man. We ought not to do that. But they had in that 1,500-page bill all kinds of goodies that the Democrats wanted to get in so that Trump would not be able to come against it. Part of it was going, I think it was from about 175,000 to about 248,000, about a 60,000 somewhere in that area, about a 60,000 pay raise for per year per legislator. It was the gravy train.
Did you hear the interview? I forget the congressman's name. My mind is just running. He was interviewed about the raise. He didn't even know it was in the bill.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A Democratic senator did not even know. So he expected all the other senators and congressmen to know what was in that bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's proof right there that there's no way they can understand what is in a bill when you get it in a week and it's 1,500 pages. Now, that's why I'm saying the American people should have access to that bill for, let's say, 2 weeks to 30 days. So all the alternative media can break that down to the smallest increment of what it does, what's in it, what it does, and should it be passed or should it be denied.
Dan, I'll even go further than that. I believe that needs to be done in each state. I believe in the state of Florida, for example.
We, the
people, need to have the privilege of reading the bill verbatim and then speaking to, by way of email, text, or telephone call, or in-person visit with our legislators and saying, yes, no, don't do this, don't do that. I've found, generally speaking, though, and I've done things like that for many, many, many years trying to intervene for right and righteousness in our legislation, but most of the legislators are willing to accept the voice of lobbyists rather than the voice of the people that put them in office. And so I believe it's time that we...
That's where holding them accountable to the point of prosecution comes mm-hmm. in effect.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that they take and they accept bribes and they do all kind of breaking law. We all know that.
Yes.
But we do not hold them accountable when we can, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. The trickle-down effect will go from Washington down to the state capitals. When we start
Absolutely.
Understanding the people's power, when it comes to changing things back to what we were born to. I was born in 50. You know what it was like through the 50s and the 60s and 70s,
yeah.
How America
no.
was. I do too. I want it back. And greater yet, because they were corrupting it back then. Okay, this didn't happen overnight. It's been a 50, 60-year process. They got
Absolutely.
All the time in the world, you know, to defeat righteousness.
And then one of the things you're talking about plays right in the realm of where I'm talking about today is the focus, and that is, for example, we go back to Michigan, the state of Michigan. Michigan today, Dearborn, Michigan, owned, operated, and controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Much of Michigan today, the voice of the Muslim has more weight than the voice of the American citizen, otherwise non-Muslim. And we're witnessing today what I view as the ultimate takeover. In fact, go back to the demographers. Demographers in 2009 made the statement that by 2050, America would be an Islamic nation. By 2050,
yes. Yes.
America would be an Islamic nation. We're witnessing it because going back to the 7th century with Muhammad, he had a goal, and that goal is still being carried out today, and it's through the uprising of the Islamic jihadists that will go in, murder, rape, rob, pillage, and kill, do anything to take control, and our political leaders are too willing to take the vote and allow that to happen. So, Dan, it demands our prayer, and what you're saying is on target. We need to admonish our listeners to pray, continue to seek God's face, ask God to heal our land. And part of that healing is, just as you said, we've got to go back to a clean government. And that's not an easy feat to accomplish.
And the righteous church.
Absolutely.
We must not only take back Congress and Senate, but we must make it known that a minister preaches the Bible. And
Amen.
There's no substitute.
And that means everything from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and it means about things that some call offensive. Some say that political speech is offensive for a Christian. We ought not to do it. And that's led us into the demise, I believe, Dan, that we're in today, where the Christian voice...
You turn away from God, you get what we've got.
Absolutely. Turn away from God. You refuse to speak the word of God, and you cower into the corner because you're afraid of what some governmental voice might say. Therefore, you do not preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth based on the authority of the Scripture. Dad, it deserves our prayers.
One question I want to ask you.
All right.
Since we have turned somewhat the tide of this immoral, gay rights movements, right? It's worldwide. Have they backed up? Have they returned and quit doing things? No, they're going full speed ahead.
Yes, yes.
They are not stopping with their perversions.
And we find, according to the Scripture, it's going to intensify in the
last
of the last days of which we're there now.
That's right.
So, again, it demands the child of God, the Christian, to speak the truth in love, but take a stand on biblical facts, biblical theological doctrinal truth. And that's what we've lost in the past 50, 60 years, Dan. But, Dan, it deserves our prayer, and complete attention. Thank you so much for calling. It's good to talk with you again. May you and your family have a Merry Christmas, Dan. Thank you, and God bless you.
As well as you and all your listeners. All right, God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, will Israel survive the global uprising? There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands. May I repeat that? There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Islamic jihadists demonstrating, marching in the streets of Berlin, Germany, right at this moment. The anti-Israel, anti-Jew demonstrations are taking place, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe. There is a mindset. The statement this morning on, I believe it was CBN broadcast, interviewing one from Israel, ambassador from Israel, and he was talking about what is taking place in Berlin, Germany, where there are literally thousands upon thousands demonstrating in the streets, threatening the Jewish people, and all of them were, quote, so-called Palestinian sympathizers, saying that the Jewish people are the cause and the factor that should be removed. I'm looking at a headline, thousands around the world protest the Middle East. 40,000 pro-Palestinian demonstrators marched in London. Thousands marched in Paris. Thousands upon thousands marched in Rome, Milan, Cape Town, South Africa, Berlin, Germany, etc., etc., etc. This article then reads, thousands of protesters took to the streets and major cities around the globe demanding the end to the bloodshed in Gaza and a wider Middle East ahead of the anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel. About 40,000 pro-Palestinian demonstrators marched through central London, while thousands upon thousands gathered in Rome and Cape Town, South Africa, New York City, etc., 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 etc. This article reads, in Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim majority country. At least 1,000 pro-Palestinian protesters gathered near the U.S. embassy, demanding that Washington stop supplying any weapons whatsoever to Israel. In London Saturday, the counter-demonstrators waved Israeli flags and pro-Palestinian marches marching against the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing God's word coming to fruition, just as God said that he would do so in the last of the last days. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the bubbling up to the boiling over, the boiling point. Looking at headline, Middle East latest news. Israel plans an extended occupation of Syrian buffer zone. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israeli troops will occupy a buffer zone inside Syria for the foreseeable future. Israel's recent capture of the buffer zone has sparked condemnation, with critics accusing Israel of violating a ceasefire commitment in 1974, etc., etc. The Israeli advances in Syria come as its forces are still fighting the war in Gaza against the Palestinian militia and the militants called Hamas. Ladies and gentlemen, another headline, Israel strengthens hold in the Syrian buffer zone. And the article reads this way, what we need to know, how it happened. Two seismic weeks that toppled Syria's government. End of the dynasty, the fall of Bashar Assad, nearly 14 years of war in Syria put to an end of the 54-year rule. Assad's whereabouts, he's in Russia. Israel says it bombarded hundreds of military sites across Syria in the past 48 hours. Israel is going in, and rightfully so, in the fall of Syria. Israel is going in and wiping out anything that will be nuclear devices or anything that is weapons of mass destruction that could be brought against the nation of Israel while they have the opportunity to do so to protect its people. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. Tens of thousands of people rally internationally calling for the ceasefire of Gaza and Lebanon and the destruction of the Jewish people. Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets and all major cities around the globe condemning Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is almost like a replay of 1939, well, actually about 36 through about 1945, under the domination of the leadership of Adolf Hitler, and what that ended in, the absolute evisceration, the Holocaust, the destruction of the Jewish people at that time. So why is this anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish marches, why are these marches and demonstrations taking place? Supposedly it's because of Israel-Hamas war. Or is it the Israel-Hezbollah war? Or is it the Israel-Syrian war? Or is it a prophetic eschatological fulfillment of biblical truths? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. We need to recognize that the land belongs to Israel. And the battle is over the land. The battle, ladies and gentlemen, is what I call that battle for the title deed that God has given the nation of Israel. So will Israel release it? No. Will Israel be dethroned, if you please, and kicked out of their land? No. Will Israel lose the battle? Israel will come to the point and place that it will seem that they're going to be totally eviscerated. And then the Lord Jesus Christ returns, gives the victory by destroying the God-haters, the Bible-deniers, and those that come against Israel. By the way, one of the major, major factors that we need to look at, and time will not allow it on the broadcast, but study at your leisure the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, and ask the question, why is Israel so hated of all people? It's a demonic hate because, ladies and gentlemen, Satan hates Israel, the Jewish people that gave birth to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through the Jewish people that we have the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ and the celebration of Christmas even today. And it's the satanic, demonic hate for the Jewish people because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to recognize God's already told us what the last days will be like. All nations are going to come against the nation of Israel. And there's an attempt to do so even now. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, according to the scripture, God's still going to protect the nation of Israel. In fact, in Ezekiel 37, verse 21 and 22, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountain of Israel, and one king shall be king over them. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." I find that to be encouraging, ladies and gentlemen, is to realize God's promise to the nation of Israel. In fact, in that same chapter, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of my of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and mutually multiply them, and will set them in my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Do sanctify the Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Ladies and gentlemen, you go through the book of Ezekiel, you look at the 37th chapter, and most of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is dealing with the Israel coming together as a nation, which took place May 14th, 1948. And it was the prophetic text in Ezekiel 37 that pointed to that day taking place. And in the same chapter, the latter portion of the chapter, it then moves forward to the final days that God says, "You're my land, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the land will never be divided anymore." And God says, "I'm going to put my sanctuary in the midst of them." That's because as we look at Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 7, 8, and 9, we'll find that ultimately when it seems as though Israel is going to be totally eviscerated, totally destroyed, they will look up and recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom they have slain, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 7 and following. They recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom they have slain, and will weep and wail as the loss of a firstborn son. And that's in Zechariah chapter 12. "And weep and wail as the loss of a firstborn son. Receive Yeshua Messiah as Savior, and all of Israel shall be saved, shall be delivered," according to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, "shall come to fruition." And they will move, they, the Jewish people, will go into the millennial reign with the church age saints into the millennial reign, where we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, today the Islamic jihadists are on the march. They are marching for global dominance, while the world's political class are seeking applause and approval and election at all cost. We see the America taking American culture being taken over by the Islamic jihadists. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as bringing about peace through anything that would be called a peace conference whatsoever with the Islamic jihadists. It doesn't happen that way. Quran and the Surah, chapter 3, verse 85, "Whoever seeks a religion other than them will never be accepted. Jihad, fighting for Allah, will be ordained for all Muslims," in Surah 2:216. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray and ask God to divinely intervene in His protection for the nation of Israel and for America. Thank you for tuning in today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's